So we're talking about breakthrough. Somebody say breakthrough. Okay, but before we talk about breakthrough, I'm gonna put up some college football teams, and when I put up, wow, I like the 11 o'clock more spunky than the 9 o'clock. That's okay, I like that. So, but here's what I want to do, and guys, wait for your cue. Go with me, okay? Don't go before me. But as soon as you know what team that is, you tell me what team that is, okay? So we're playing a game. You guys ready to go? All right, go ahead. Show them the first one. Who's this? Notre Dame Fighting Irish. All right, that's good. That's good. Okay. All right. Let's go to what's this? Florida Gators. Right. All right. What's next? What's this? It's the LSU Tigers. They are, listen, if you want to listen to an awesome coach, listen to Coach O. He is very cool. Okay, next. What's that? Yeah, that's the Panthers. All right, next. What's this? Penn State what? Nittany Lion. Ooh, that's good. Who knew that one? Did you know that one? That's good for you. All right. All right, good, good. All right, what's that? Who's that? Washington State Cougars. That's good. All right. What's this? I'm just asking. Are you kidding me? That's a mascot for a football team? I'm just wondering. See, what I'm talking to you today, what I want to talk about, keep the ducks up there. What I want to talk to you today about is about having a breakthrough. Some of you need a breakthrough. And here's what happens. Many of you have walked in a breakthrough, or you've experienced a breakthrough, but I want you to start walking in a breakthrough. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, our life is supposed to go through one breakthrough after another breakthrough after another breakthrough. The Bible says it like this, that we're going to go faith from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And in order to have a breakthrough, what I want to talk to you today is about, you know what, the importance of you being tenacious. Having a bulldog kind of faith. Having a faith that grabs a hold of something and you do not let it go. Yeah. Next. What's that? Do you know that is? What is that? No. No. Good guess, though. No, no. What? Larry, why didn't I have the Pioneer Titans up here? I don't know why I didn't. Okay, anyway. Who knows what that is? No, 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 no. How can a football team be called the Whittier Poets? I'm just asking. You know what? Ooh, we're gonna say some poetry. I don't even get it. I don't get it. Okay. And I you know what? I am mocking the Poets and the Ducks. And if you're from Oregon, I don't mean any harm. Or if you graduated from Whittier College, I don't mean any harm. But I'm just saying, you know what? Here, I save the best for last. Look at this. What's this? Okay. Yeah, the Bulldogs. Yeah, and you say, oh, you like Georgia? No, that's not the point. The point is, it's not about football. This is about showing you that we need to have this tenacity of faith to believe God and to not let go of what he's promised us, not let go of what he said. You know, it's interesting to me because reading about, a bulldog, you know what I read? That they do have phenomenal grip with their teeth. You know what? So once they grab a hold of it, they have some very intense, pressure. But what the article that I read said, it was interesting. It said that's not really what makes them so fierce. What makes them so fierce is they have this mentality to, once they see that prey, they lunge at it, they grab it, and they will not let go. It's not so much the force of their bite, but the article said it's this thing in their head that they will not let go, usually until that other animal, that other dog or whatever they're praying at is dead. I know that doesn't sound very nice. But it was interesting to me because it's not really about the bite. It's really about their mentality. Does that make sense? So I really want to teach you, because what happens is God intends us to have breakthrough. And then when we have breakthrough, God intends us to go through more breakthrough. And what happens often is, listen, for some of you, thank God, you know what? You're not smoking dope anymore. You know what I mean? You've had that breakthrough. You know what I mean? You're not drinking anymore. You know what? You've had that breakthrough. You know what? You're not sleeping around anymore. You've had that breakthrough. You know what I mean? But God has other breakthroughs for you. And maybe there's people who are in, you know, listening to me right now, or maybe going to listen to, you know, through the internet, and maybe you haven't even had those breakthroughs yet. Listen, that's okay. God is calling you, though, to move to a higher place. That these things that are have you in bondage, God wants to deliver you from those things. But many times, listen to me, many times we've gone through those breakthroughs and we've gotten in place and we say, oh, yeah, you know what? Thank God. I don't smoke dope anymore. I don't sleep around anymore. I don't drink anymore. You know what I mean? I don't do meth anymore. Whatever the situations are. You know what I mean? But God says, you know what? Wait a minute. You need to go to another higher level. You need to live in breakthrough. You need to not be satisfied. And here's what I want to teach you. It takes tenacity. It takes work. See, it doesn't take a lot of work, you know what, to just stay at a level playing field. You know what I mean? Just say, well, it's okay. My life isn't that bad. God doesn't want your life to be that bad. You know what? God wants your life to be good. Amen? Amen. You know, you ever ask somebody, hey, how's it? Oh, you know, not that bad. You know what I mean? Well, hey, can we have a good life? And can we, here's what I'm asking, can we go from a good life to a, I know this isn't proper English, but I want to get it through your head. Can we go from a good life to a gooder life?
Come on, amen.
And then can we go from that life to even a better life from there? I'm saying it can. I'm saying we can. And I'm saying, but it's going to take some effort for you to go from that place to a higher place. And here's what I want to teach you, that God wants you to go to that higher place. But it's going to take some effort on our part. And what I want to do is I simply want to teach you and show you some examples of people in the Bible that had incredible challenges. Incredible challenges. But they trusted in God and went from the place that they were to a higher place. Okay? How many want to see this? Let me point out one passage first before really as an intro to breakthrough before we get started. And it's this passage in Galatians. Galatians, I don't know why that's like that, but it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Look at your neighbor and say, please do good. Okay. Don't get tired in doing good. Amen. Watch this. For in due season, we shall reap. Here's what God is saying. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no maybe. There's no kind of. There's no, well, I hope so. There's no, well, if you were raised in the right neighborhood. There's no if you have the right pedigree. There's not if you have the right bank account. It has nothing to do with any of that. The promise of God to all of us is simple, that if we, watch this, that we will reap. We will. There's only one clause, if we do not lose heart. And that is where the battle is. That's where the battle is. With a great marriage, you know where the battle is? Losing heart. You know what? Continuing to go in a next step financially, where's the battle? You know what? Are you going to lose heart? There's breakthrough in all areas. You raising your kids, are you going to lose heart? How many know it takes some work to raise kids? Yeah. Amen. How many know it takes a lot of work to raise kids nowadays? I'm telling you what, there's these battles. There's these spiritual battles. There's, you know what, when Tamara and I, I'm not transposing this upon you. I'm just telling you what God spoke to Tamara and I. Amen? Does that make sense? When God spoke to Tamara and I and said, you know what, you need to start homeschooling your kids. We're like, oh my goodness. You know, yeah. Be honest. Has anybody ever thought God was crazy? Come on, somebody. You know, I don't want to say that. All right, you don't have to say it. But you know what? I thought God was crazy. You know what I mean? This doesn't make any sense. God, we're trying to grow this church. You know what? I'm still bivocational. Are you kidding me? What are you thinking? I mean, no, God's ways are higher than our ways. God is smarter. God knows things that we don't know. And he tries to pre-tell us in advance to prepare you to have a great family. And that's what he was telling us. We took them out of a private school. They were in private school, private Christian school. You know what I mean? You say, yeah, but Drew, why would you do that? You took them out of private school. You know, it wasn't even public school. It was private school. I know, but God's ways are higher than my ways. And he said, you know what? But here's what I thought. How many know? We sometimes will just hang on to what we think and what we know, and we know the best. You know what I mean? We had purchased a house in North Whittier. Of all the elementary schools in Whittier, you know what? Edwards was the best school. And guess what? That's what school our kids could go to. Because that's where we lived. And so we went down to Edwards, and we signed them up. And we met the principal, and you know what? And Tamara was signing them up. And you know what? And as she's filling all of the paperwork, I go to the cafeteria. And in the cafeteria, it was striking to me, because at the private school that they came from, if you went in the classrooms, you'd see pictures of Moses, you know what, crossing the Red Sea, and Noah and the Ark, and you know what, Jesus, you know what, laying his hands on the sea. You'd see all this stuff. But I went into the public school, and I looked at their, you know what, billboards, and there was no pictures of Jesus. There's no pictures of Moses. How many believe God speaks to people? And as I was looking around, and it was so striking to me that there was no pictures of any of that, God spoke to me. And here's what he told me. He said, you know why there's no pictures of any Bible characters in this auditorium? Because they kicked me out. And they don't want me in. So, you will take your child, your children, your precious children, and you will walk them to school, and you will drop them off. And if any of those teachers say anything about Jesus, they will be suspended or fired. Because, here's what he said, because they have kicked me out. And that's how he said it. And they do not want me in. And that is the atmosphere that you're taking your child to and dropping them off. See, how many know that at that point in time, I didn't really care about how difficult it was going to be to homeschool our kids? I just knew. See, God will not only tell you why to do it, many times, or tell you what to do, many times he'll tell you why he wants it done. How many know this is true? Not all the time, but many times. He'll tell you exactly why. And he was showing me and telling me and making, watch this, and making a very hard decision very easy. All eyes up here. Listen to me. Your ability to reap a harvest is predestined. God's already said, absolutely. Look. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap. We will reap. We shall reap. It's going to happen. Listen, God has said, this is what I want. I want you to reap a harvest. The only question is if you'll let go of the promises of God. See, the only question is, you shall reap what? If you do not lose heart. See, how many people in this room has had a promise, has had something, a vision, has had a dream, has had something that God told you to do, and you left it there because of, we're going to look at it in a minute, because of different difficulties, different situations, and Satan, this is how Satan works. He works in discouragement, and he tries to get you discouraged. Why? Because he wants you to give up, because he knows if you give up, what's the reciprocal of this verse? If you give up, you ain't going to reap anything, amen? And many people, Christian people, people who have been called to do great, mighty things for God. People have been called to have wonderful marriages. You know what? People have been called to raise wonderful kids and wonderful grandkids. People have been called to own businesses and make a bunch of money that they would be able to be a blessing to all kinds of people. Amen? But they lose heart. They give up. They stop. And many of them stop right in just moments before, days before, months before they're going to break through. The only, according to the passage, according to the Word of God, the thing that God has already said, listen, I guarantee it, you will reap a harvest. The only question is, it's not about me. The only question is, will you have that bulldog kind of faith to say, I don't care what I see. I don't care what circumstances would look like. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what my neighbors say. It just doesn't make any difference to me. I am going to stay with what God said. That is the question. So very quickly today, I want to look at just three examples of people who had a promise and were able to see that promise take place in their life. People that walked out the promise of God. And I want to show you why they did it. Because listen, this eeny, meeny, moe mentality has got to be flushed down the toilet. It's not true. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Oh, praise God, she's a moe. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Praise God. And we think that, you know what, Dee and Candace are blessed. But, you know, praise God for eeny, meeny, miny. Praise God, you know, I hope I'm a moe. But what about the eenies and the meenies? Amen. No, let me tell you what. Listen, God blesses the eenie, and God blesses the meanie, and God blesses the miney, and God blesses the mole. Amen? So, Pastor, that's silly. I know, but that's good theology, too. Amen? Amen? How many know good theology can be fun? God blesses it all. His will for you is that you be in health and be prosperous. But you cannot be prosperous beyond what your soul is prosperous. So what's the trick? The trick is to make our soul prosperous. Amen? How many are receiving this? Okay, so I want to give you some examples of people who have had this kind of faith. And I want to show you, I not only want to show you, you know what, them, but very quickly, I want to show you things that they had to go through. Because let me tell you what they were. They were tenacious. They saw the promise of God. They believed God, and they would not let go. 3 points very quickly. My first point is this. Three ways people don't give up. Three ways that people who don't give up think. There's a thinking. There's three ways that people who don't give up, how are they thinking? I want to show you those ways. Number one, they think like this. They think like this. They will not back down to current situations or circumstances. They will not back down to current situations or circumstances. Luke chapter, I have it up here on the screen. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. Check this out. Here's what she does. She has this bank account. She has some money in her savings. She has money reserved. And she goes to this doctor. And this doctor says, here, I've dealt with that problem. I know the answer to the problem. If you'll just take this, you know what, rub this oil, you know what, here, you know what, whatever the antidote was. She believes him, gives him a certain amount of money. She walks away with what she thinks is the answer. And guess what happens? She doesn't get any better. So what does she do? So then she goes back to this doctor, and this doctor tells her, if you just do, no, that doctor was wrong, just do this. Oh, and by the way, it's going to cost you this much. She believes this doctor, takes the remedy, goes home, does that, and guess what? It doesn't get better. Then she goes to the third doctor, and she asks him, hey, you know what, this happened? Oh, yeah, no, they were all wrong. Do it like this. She does it again. Now, you say, was there three doctors? I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us. I don't know. There could have been 10 doctors for all I know. Here's what I know. Here's what the Bible tells us, that she kept on going back and back and back and back and back until she didn't have any more money, and she was worse. She didn't get any better. Now, here's what I want to say. At what point in time do you finally throw your hands up and say this? I guess I'm always going to have this ailment. That's what I'm talking about. See, listen. These people who are tenacious, they won't let circumstance dictate to them what is going to be. And many times in our life, what we do is we allow the circumstance of what it has been to dictate to us. And it's not like we don't try. That's why I use this passage, because it's a great passage. It's not like she wasn't trying. But this lady, at some point in time, many people, even Christian people, they try this, they try that, they try this, and after so much trying, they just throw their hands in there and say, listen, my marriage is always going to be like this. I guess the doctor was right. I guess I always have to have this pain. I guess I'm never going to get out of debt. I don't know what it is. You know, it's my genetics. You know, I just can't lose weight. Hello, somebody. And you, whatever it is, and listen, and that's not it. That's not it. What does this lady do? This lady goes to God. She believes, you know what, that Jesus is going to heal her. You know what the Bible says? She, watch this. For she said to herself, if only I might touch his garment, might be made well. Another version says it like this, for she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Can I tell you what? You've got to have a tenacity. Why does this lady walk in healing? Because after it not working, after it not working, after it not working, after it not working, she was willing to say, Jesus, you can help me. Amen. Jesus, you can help me. Some of you have tried all kinds of things. You know what? And you've allowed, but at some point in time, you've allowed the fact that you didn't receive your healing, you didn't receive that breakthrough, and you've allowed that to convince you and to settle you to say, I guess that just wasn't God's will. Here's my question. What if she would have said that? Some of you have been single for a while, and you're like, you know what? And God has spoken to you and said, you know what? Hey, listen. And you're about to put a square peg in a round hole. Amen. You know, a square peg does go through a round hole. Do you know that? How does it do it? You just get a really big hammer, you know what, and you hit it there and say, oh, hallelujah, look what happened. No. You stick with what God told you. And don't allow time to be a factor. Don't allow the fact that this doctor was wrong and that doctor was wrong and this doctor was wrong. Don't allow your life to be discouraged because it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened right away. Some of you are in marriage situations and you're just so frustrated. And you're like, you know what? You're like, God, but you know what? And listen, and at some here, listen to me. At some point in time, here's what happens. You change your mentality. And you go from, you know what? God's going to heal my marriage. To, this is just what I have to accept. And God is saying, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. You be like that bulldog, you know, who says, I'm not quitting until I receive. All I have to do is just stay in there. That's what the Bible says. If you want faith, you will reap a harvest. Number one, you have to make a decision that you're not going to let circumstances dictate, you know what, the victory in your life, number one. Number two, people who walk in victory, you know what, one of the things they do is this. They do not allow what they do not let what they see convince them that things cannot change. Oh, come on. They won't allow what they see. How many know your sight can get you in trouble? Come on, somebody. How many know your sight can get you in trouble? And you see something some way, and you see it that way, and you think, oh, it'll never change. It'll never change. It'll never change. No. Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho, his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, a son of Tyrus, sat by the road. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. When they warned him to be quiet, tenacity, watch this. He cried out even all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, arise. He's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Watch this. The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I might receive my sight. Here's my question. What did this blind man see constantly? What did he see? He saw nothing. But how many know that's what he saw? He saw nothing. And he would not allow the lack of what he saw to convince him that he would be able to see one day. See, you know why he said to Jesus, this guy is a great example, because he goes for it. He believes God. He doesn't allow his circumstances. He doesn't allow what he sees or what he doesn't see to convince him that he won't be able to see anymore. Sometimes we're in the same situation. We allow things that we see to convince us it's never going to change. Does this make sense? And you see it some way, you think, you know what, for many of you, it was how you were raised. You know what? I was raised like this. You know what? I was always like this. You know what? I flunked the second grade, and I always just academically wasn't. And Satan has this way of always trying to throw in your face the worst part of you. How many know this is true? You know what? Oh, I'm not good in math. Well, and this is crazy thinking. You're not good in math, but you're one of the greatest artists I've ever seen. You know what I mean? You know what? You're not a good reader, but you're a songwriter. You write beautiful songs. Amen. And you think, you know what? What's Satan want to focus on? He always wants to focus on what part of you isn't good. What about all the good things that, what do you think? You think God's going to just make somebody that can do everything good? So what did you're bad in math? You're good in other things. Amen? Yeah, but I don't run fast. Yeah, but look at what you do right. Look at how smart you are. Look at how you help people. Look how compassionate you are. You know, that guy's smart, but you know what? But he doesn't even recognize all the hurting people around him. Do you understand? God gives different gifts to different people. But Satan wants us just to look at what we don't have instead of seeing what we do have. Does that make sense? You know, Tamara has a great talent to be able to see a room and just envision it. Well, what if we did this here? And what if I did that there? And what if I put that here? And what if I did this here? When we first came to the church, you know what? Just because of lack of finances. You know what I mean? The grounds were very run down and hadn't been remodeled in a long time. And one of our friends who had saw what the church looked like, 2 years ago he came back and we were showing him the different rooms. And he said, Tamara, so I don't get this. So you just go in a room and you all of a sudden just like see it different? Like he said, could you do this to any room, any place? And she kind of looked at him like, I could. And he was just amazed. Why? Because that wasn't his gift. And sometimes what we do is we look at somebody else's gift and they're a good singer, they're a good musician, they're whatever they are. And we think, oh, but I'm not this. God says to you today, who cares? Start looking at what you can do well. Amen. I remember, in the nursery, you know what? There's this, the wall kind of goes funky in this certain place. You know what I mean? It's not a real clear thing. And I thought, you know what? How in the world are we going to put crown molding there? I don't even know how to do that. You know what I mean? And I asked Fernando. Hey, Fernando, can you figure that out? You know what? 10 minutes later, I walk in there and it's just beautiful. It's like. How'd you do that? You know, I don't even know how you did that. You know what I mean? It's a gift that he has. You know what? And so what we need to do is we need to start looking and seeing what God has given us. But Satan, what Satan wants to look? He wants us to look at our insufficiencies, and he always wants to say, and listen, and that's never going to change. That's just how you are. You want to stay that way. You're going to stay. And that's what I guarantee you Satan was telling this guy. You know what? You're going to be blind. Look at the text. And the texts are telling him, be quiet. Don't bother him. Can I tell you what? You don't bother God when you're going to believe for a greater thing in your life. Amen? You're not bothering God. That doesn't bother God. Amen? Matter of fact, God says, hey, hold the phone. Right? Stop it. You guys be quiet. You tell him. Go get that guy. I want him to come here. And the beautiful thing is that guy, you know what that guy does? That guy goes for it. Then he says, when Jesus says, what do you want? See, why does he do that? Here's why. Because he's not seeing what he doesn't, he's seeing what he doesn't see. Do you hear that? He's seeing what he doesn't see. Say, all Satan wants to get you is in the now, in the present. It'll never change. That's how it is. That's how you are. It won't, blah, 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 blah. Just stay right there. You know what? I heard this just this weekend. You know what? You know what Satan is absolutely afraid of? He's afraid of your future. He's afraid of your future. Because let me tell you what, your future freaks him out. You get somebody who believes in God, and you know, I'm telling you, why do you think he tried to kill Moses before he got started? Why? Because he's afraid of his future. Why do you think he tried to kill Jesus before he got started? Because he's afraid of the future. Here, I'll step, I just need to say it. Why do you think abortion is such a point You say, Pastor, you're getting political. I'm not getting political. This has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with spirituality. Why do you think Satan wants to wipe kids out before they ever get started? Here's why. Because he is petrified in, you know what, your future. And he's petrified of your kids' future. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. That's he's so freaked out. And this guy says, you know what? Let me tell you what. You know what? Let me tell you what I want, Jesus. I want to see. Look what Jesus says. Look what Jesus says to him. This is so interesting. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. How can he say your faith has made you well? How can he say that? Here's why. This is deep. This is deep. Are you ready? Because his faith had made him well. That's why. See, don't try to rewrite the Bible to fit your narrative. I said, don't try to rewrite the Bible to fit your narrative. You know what I mean? Let me tell you what God wants to bless every single one of us. God has blessing for every single one of us. And if you'll be tenacious, listen, there's a higher place for you to go. There's a different place for you to go. God wants you to believe what he promised you and for you not to let it go. And all the people that are telling you, because you got people around you just like he had people around him, telling him, be quiet, don't bother him, just sit there and stay blind and stay in your little box. God says, I don't want you in your little box. And for all of us, how many know God knew what that we were all going to read this? This is for our benefit. And he's saying, listen, understand this. What I want you to understand is this guy was walked in the healing power of God because he had the willingness to say, let me tell you what I want, Jesus. I want to be healed. That's what I want. I want to see. Amen. And it doesn't make any difference. I haven't saw last year. I didn't see the year before that. I didn't see the last month or the month before that. But when you will start to not allow what you see to dictate what is, I'm telling you what, you're getting ready for a breakthrough. Can I show you something? Can I show you something? Right here. I said, Pastor, how do you know it's right here? Because I see the line. I know. When we took down the wall, we had carpet on this side. We had carpet on this side. When we took down this wall, there was no carpet here, so they had to patch it. It's right here the wall was. The wall was right here on this side. We had pool tables, ping pong tables, foosballs. This was our youth room. And God showed me. He said, you know what? He showed me, I don't have time to tell you a story, but you'll be able to almost double the size of your sanctuary if you take those two rooms and make them one. So, Pastor, what did you do? Well, right about where Millie sits, there was a door. It was a wall, but it had a door. And that door would, when you opened it, it would always shut. So I'd open that door, put a chair right there so it would stay open. What would you do? I'd come over here. What are you doing? I'm looking. What are you looking for? Here's what I'm looking. I'm looking to all the way over there, as far as I can see to that wall. And I'm envisioning a room without a wall. And in order to do that, the only way I could do that is to open that door and envision that. Why are you doing that? Because I needed to see what I couldn't see. See, many times what trips you up is your sight. That's why the Bible says, don't walk by sight, walk by faith. And me opening the door was a way, a very practical way, was for me to see what was going to be. Does that make sense? Another time, because the wall was here. I couldn't take down the wall in 30 minutes. So, and I couldn't put a stage up because the wall was right in the way. So what I did to try to vision what this place was going to look like, I knew what the measurements were. And me and Joel got together and we measured out that corner, and that corner was going to be the stage. And then we put all these chairs and we set them up just like the sanctuary, except we could only set them up this far. What were you doing? I'm trying to envision that which what we see every single week that you come in here. See, you know what God does? You say, oh, is that some psychobabble, some new age thing that you are learned and you're putting that into the church? No! Listen, the new age takes stuff from us, and then people who don't know the word get on the internet and warn you against knowing the truth. Can you say amen to this? Amen. That's the truth. God was the one who takes Abraham outside and says, look up at the stars. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get him to envision what could be if he will not let go of the promise. You know, Abraham's wife. Are you kidding me? Abraham's wife. How many know? How many ever get fired up to do something? You know what I mean? Ooh, I'm gonna lose weight. You know, I'm gonna start eating. You know, no more Twinkies for me. You know what I mean? You know, by 4 o'clock, you know, you're like 8 Twinkies and 3 Hostess Ho-Hos. You know what I mean? Come on, somebody. But I tell you what, you were a trooper till 12. You know, you did really good. Sometimes we're that way. We get fired up. We get excited, and that's all right. I understand it. Everybody lives that way. But what I'm saying is breakthrough comes as you decide, I'm going to stick with this, and I'm not letting go. Abraham and his wife were promised something. And over the period of time, they didn't see it manifest. So what do? They start coming up with their own program. I mean, I'm just asking, what a goofball Abraham was. What a goofball his wife was. Comes in and says, oh, here, I got an idea. Why don't you sleep with my maidservant? Hello? Could somebody recognize that was not a good idea? Could somebody, some of y'all spiritual, could somebody spiritual recognize, I don't think that's of God. It's a crazy idea. But how many know, sometimes you just get discouraged because things you haven't seen happen and you start to think that you're going to fix it. And so, you know what, sure enough, and years later, after he is discouraged and giving up on his dream, God, you know, talks to Abraham and says, Abraham, come on out here. Look up. I need you to start seeing what you're not seeing. Start to envision that you are a grandfather and you have so many grandkids and great grandkids. And great, great grandkids, start to see it. Let me tell you what. People who walk in breakthrough, they have a willingness to not see with their physical eyes what they can see with their spiritual eyes. And finally, and this is my last point. People who walk in breakthrough, they do this. They will allow what God says about them or any given circumstance to dominate their thinking. Somebody say, dominate your thinking. See, you've got to make a decision. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to allow what God says to dominate how you think. What he says to dominate what you're thinking. How you think. Because all of us can think crazy. And God's ways are higher than our ways. So what we need to do is we need to get God's thinking in our mind. That's right. If we get God's thinking in our mind, then guess what? We'll start to speak it. When we start to speak it, we'll start to sow it. When we'll start to sow it, we'll start to reap it. Let me say that again. When you think right, you speak right. When you speak right, you sow right. When you sow right, you reap right. So where does it go back to? It goes back to the right thinking. People who walk in breakthrough, they have this in common. They'll start to think the way God thinks. They'll start to speak what God speaks. They'll start to believe what God believes. You know, Jesus did this. God had promised him that he would be raised from the dead. Watch this. This is good. Imagine this. Imagine. Why? Because all of us want control. That's you know what Christianity is? Christianity is about this. Get in the car and let me drive it. That's Christianity 101. You know what? When I get in the car, you know what? I want to drive. Do I not, Tamara? And it doesn't make anyone. Tamara's car, I want to drive her car. Tyler's car, Tyler. Whose car do I want to drive? I want to drive Tyler's car. If I'm driving with Megan, guess what car I want to drive? I want to drive Megan's car. Yeah, Shayla's car, I want to drive. Why? Because I think I am the best driver in the family. Amen? That's why. Okay? And can I tell you what? Yeah, that's funny, huh? Why are you still laughing so hard? I am the best. Okay, here's my point. My point is, in our life, that's how we are. We think we're the best driver. Can I tell you what? You are not the best driver, and neither am I. Who is the best driver for our life? God is the best driver for our life. And so the Bible says God's ways are not our ways. We need to defer. We need to start thinking the way he thinks. You say, how do I do that? The Bible says that God gave his ways to Moses. How many know we have God's thinking? This is his thinking. From the heart, the mouth speaks. We have God's words. We don't need to, we don't assume, well, you never, these people, hey, watch what you listen on the radio, okay? Even a Christian radio, watch it a little bit, okay? Well, you never know what God's going to do. You never know what God. I know exactly what God's going to do. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. I know God's coming back. I know that. Amen. I know God's the healer. I know that. Amen. I know God's a baptizer of the Holy Spirit. I know that. Amen. I know a lot of things. How? About God. Why? Because he spoke that to me. His desire wasn't for me not to know his will. His desire was for me to know his will. Now all I have to do is get what he thinks in my mind, watch this, and get what I think out of my mind. Why do we go to church? Somebody say the church is a car wash. You ever gone and you go over this car wash and your car's all dirty and you do all the spray, you know what I mean? You're all happy because your car's all getting clean and all the junk, what it does, it goes. That's what coming to church is. It's renewing our mind and saying, I'm going to think the way God thinks. I'm above, not beneath. I'm the head, not the tail. Let the weak say that I'm strong. Start to recognize what God has got for you. Because let me tell you what God has for you. He's got incredible blessings for you. People who walk in breakthrough, here's what they do. They start thinking the way God thinks. Until Moses starts thinking the way God thinks, you know what? He's going to be not where. Here, just answer me this. I'll prove it to you. How come some of them walked into the promised land and some of them didn't? Here's why. Because the ones who didn't kept on saying, how come Caleb and Joshua walked in the promised land? Because Caleb and Joshua said, guys, we can surely do this. God will go before us. God is the one who's going to strengthen us again. We don't have to fight our enemies. God will help us fight our enemies. How come all those died in the wilderness? Here's why. Because they just kept on saying, oh, read it, over and over and over. You know what they said? They said, God, you've called us out here to kill us. They asked God, God, why did you call us out here to kill us and our children? Here, let me get dramatic for a minute. All eyes up here. You ready? Are you kidding me? That's what you're gonna accuse God for? And God at some point in time said, listen, enough is enough. You're gonna stay out here and you will die out here. Can I tell you, we don't talk this way. But this is the truth. At some point in time, God says, listen, you want a kung fu grip? Well, how you think? God says, okay, but let me tell you what. You're not gonna walk in my promises. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. God says to us the same thing he said to that one brother. Man, I'm right there at the door. If you'll just recognize, man, God, I'm sorry. This is a deep question. How many ever been wrong? Amen? How many ever been driving somewhere and you're going the wrong way. I'm asking, wait, before you answer, you're going the wrong way and you think you're going the right way. Now watch this, great illustration. You think you're going, and watch this, the further you go, what's going on? The more you're going, what? The wrong way. And God says, I don't care how wrong way you are. I'm right there at the door. All you have to do is go, God, I blew it. That's what he told the brother. Brother's like all upset. God's like, why are you doing that? All you have to do is admit that you had a bad attitude with your offering. Look at what your brother did. My brother, you know, we get all upset. Oh, you know what I mean? God says, guys, start thinking the way I thought. You know what nullifies the word of God? Nothing nullifies. Nothing, Pastor, nothing nullifies the word of God. How many know you're in trouble when you call God God? Nothing nullifies the word of God. Yeah, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. The tradition of men makes the word of God have no effect in your life. So all we have to do is raise up our hands and say, God, I'm sorry for my crazy thinking. And people who walk in breakthrough, and those people will walk in breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. And you'll look at them and you'll point their finger and you'll say, man, I don't know why they're so lucky. They're not lucky. They have a humility. Listen to me. They have a humility to say, I was wrong. And I've been thinking wrong. And I got to change my mind concerning my finances. I got to change my mind concerning my relationship with my spouse. I got to change my mind concerning my relationship with my kids. I got to change my mind concerning, you know what? Oh, yeah, I just come to church whenever I feel like it. You know, every once in a while, I was like, whatever. You know, God will bless me anyway. Stop it thinking craziness. I am still smiling. All right. This is crazy thinking. This is crazy thinking. We need to be consistent in church. We need to allow those that God has blessed you to be your spiritual parents to sit under. You know why the New Testament believers were so blessed? Because they kept on coming underneath. The Bible says it's the teachings of the apostles.
Pastor, what are you saying? You think you're an apostle? What do you think?
It's not about that. Trust me. If anybody would say, I am not eligible to be a pastor, I'm the first hand I have up, okay? But we've got to value the word of God. It's got to have authority over any crazy thinking. That we've got to have a willingness. And if you will do that, I guarantee you will walk in breakthrough. There will be breakthroughs in your life. It's not because, listen, you're not walking in breakthrough because God is against you. But you cannot walk in breakthrough because you have an unwillingness to change your thinking. And changing our thinking is hard sometimes. Many times, we have to not get lost. We have to get like crazy lost. You know what I mean? You're like, one time I think I know where I'm going. And one time we were in Dallas, Texas, and we had a I got so lost, you know what? And I'm in the middle of craziness. And what did I do? I just kept on trying to get more out of lost. There's something very healthy of just saying, God, help me. I relinquished my crazy thinking about my relationship with my spouse. I'm going to start doing what you asked me to do. Some of you're so messed up in your finances, and it's because you just won't do what God is asking you to do. And God says, no, I'm right there for you. Just do what I ask you to do and watch what will happen. And somebody learned something today.
I was just sitting there. The Bible says, as a man sees himself, so shall he be. And we need to see ourselves as who Jesus Christ says that we are. He's called each and every one of us to be his disciples. The Bible tells us that he has a plan and a purpose for our life. Every one of us are kingdom builders. But what do we see ourselves that way? What is it that we're to do in the kingdom? Because we're all to do something. We are, he said, all power and authority is mine, and I give it to you. Therefore, you go. So we all sit with this reality of what God has called us to do and these plans and purposes that he has for us. And there's people, our own thoughts, our own history, our own past, people that we surround ourselves with that will say stuff to us. It was interesting. I was sitting there and I don't know what it was Pastor Drew said that triggered this, but I remember being introduced many a times as, this is my son's fiance, Tamara. And we're with his parents. And immediately these people would look at me and say, oh, so you play the piano. And I thought, where did that come from? And I said, no. And it happened more than once that it was like, what the heck? You know what I mean? Okay, so this is our son, and he's going to Bible college, and he's pastoring over there. Oh, and this is his fiance, Tamara. Oh, you play the piano? No, I don't play the piano. I was like,
oh, you must play the organ.
Then she did. And I said, no. And she said, you must play the organ. I'm like, no. And after it happened a time or two, I was like, what the heck is with this? I guess if you're going to be a pastor's wife, you have to play the piano or lead worship or sing, or else you're just not qualified. And so I pretty early on kind of learned, okay, I'm not qualified. Am I in the right? Is this really? I'll never forget God saying to me one time, as I was being asked by our pastor's wife to teach a class. I'm like, I can't do that. I don't do this. Not what I do. That's what he does, not me. And I was kind of freaking out because she had asked me to teach this class. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say to her, but that's not me, and I know that's not me. And as I laid on the bed, just kind of wrestling it out with God and kind of freaking out, and he said, Tamara, you need to see yourself the way I see you. I was like, oh, there's a concept, right? And so I ended up teaching that class, and then later on, look at how interesting this is. Later on, as we're married, and you guys know the story about the flowers and all that, and I wanted to buy some flowers, and he said no, and here you have $100. Well, you can't even buy one arrangement with $100. You know what? So, and I wanted several arrangements for our home. So he's like, here's $100, make it happen. So I got the genius idea of not buying arrangements, but just buying some flowers and making it myself. Massive mistake. Because as I explained to him prior to my tears at the table, thinking I had just wasted $100, is I'm not creative. That's what I told him. I'm not creative. I don't know how to do it. He goes, well, do it yourself. I said, I can't. You can't just do that. I'm not creative. I don't know how to do that. He just shrugged his shoulders and said, whatever. Take it or leave it. That was exactly it. And then fast forward years later, before Auntie Norma came to decorate our church, I was the one doing the Christmas decorations and figuring things out. And I had made this trellis, and a lady walked by and she said, wow, you are so gifted. I wish I was as creative as you. And what did I tell her? What did I tell him years ago? I'm not creative like that. I can't do this. And as I was on my knees at that trellis, as she walked by and said that, immediately the Holy Spirit said, Tamara, don't ever tell me who you are. I'll tell you who you are. There's things inside you. There's things inside you that I put there, and you have no idea. If we would just cooperate with the plan of God, we are His disciples. We are His plan. We all have things that He wants us to do, whether it's to teach or to walk into a room and then go ahead, go fast forward a little more. So then what do? I just do what I do. All of a sudden, I am creative. I don't know why, but I am, right? Maybe just because I'm letting God tell me who I am. And letting, just surrendering my life to God. And saying, I don't know how to do all of this, but I'm here to do whatever you want me to do. And from that came so much that the district guy came and he was like, wow. So it was weird because it was kind of like spooky, like, you know, the way he did it. He's like, so let me ask you a question. So do you just like you could just walk in a room and just see things? And I thought, does he think like it's some kind of an open vision or something? I mean, I don't know what he's talking about, but it was kind of weird. I'm like, huh? And he's like, so, like, could I take you to other churches? Could you tell them what to do? Could you see stuff? I said, I guess. Yeah, I guess. Because that's, I guess. I didn't know that was in there. God put it there. And this church needed that. Someday we'll show some pictures of what we came to, and you wouldn't recognize it. If I showed you these pictures and said, where do you think this is? You're like, I don't know. I've never seen that. No, you see it every week. Every week. It just doesn't look like it was when we came. Because God had a plan and a purpose. And I was part of the plan and the purpose. I'm His disciple. He has things for me to do to build His kingdom, to affect people's lives. And that's every one of us. And so the Bible says, as a man sees himself, so shall he be. What if I wouldn't have surrendered my life to God? What if I wouldn't have let Him tell me who I am? What if I wouldn't have let Him push me out of my comfort zone? Then what? It's easy to talk about me, but now let's talk about you. Because you see yourself a certain way. But is that what God, is that how God sees you? How foolish that I would tell God, God, I can't. God, that's not who I am. God, I don't do that. The clay telling the potter what it's going to be instead of letting the potter tell the clay. Does God know this about us? Like, I just quoted a scripture that he put in there before I was ever born because he knew my silliness would stand in front of him one day and say, oh, God, I can't teach that class. I'm not a teacher. And I'm just trying to figure out how to break it to this pastor's wife. Sorry, I can't do that. Instead of just surrendering and letting God dictate it. And so every one of us needs to let God tell us not only who we are, what he has for us to be doing, because he has things in his kingdom that he wants done. Your life's not your own. It's been bought and paid for a price. That you could bring, when we take our lives and completely submit them to God and allow him to use it for kingdom purposes, that is the reward that Jesus Christ paid for. He paid a price on the cross that you could be part of God's plan. Many people come into God's family, but then they never are part of the plan that he has for their life. And so we need to assess and look at our lives and say, God, what am I doing for you? How am I affecting people's lives to become disciples through my life?
If we've been talking, and Tamara's going to make some announcements in a minute, and we're going to dismiss you. But before we do that, we just don't want to close the service that we don't give people an opportunity to accept Jesus. And I don't want to assume that everybody has invited him into your hearts. But if you want to become a Christian today, today's the day to do it. And all we're going to do is just say a simple prayer. But listen, it's very powerful because Jesus will change you from the inside out. If you're tired of running your own life, Jesus will drive your life way better than you can drive. But if that's you, just repeat this prayer after me. Say it with me. Jesus, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. I want you to make my decisions. I'm giving you my life. I'm making you my Lord. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you said that simple prayer, we believe that you got born again. Find a good Bible-believing church. Here, let me think of one. Oh, yeah, Hope Community. Start to come every Sunday and every Wednesday and allow us to start to teach you the Word of God. It is our privilege and our prayer that you would grow mighty in the things of God and become an awesome Christian. We know that God will change your life. We know the more God you have in your life, the better your life will be.